In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Genesis 1, 1 through 5. Words are powerful. In the beginning, God used words to bring the universe into existence. Light came from nothing. Land rose up out of the seas. Life was created, all with the power of his words. God's words are powerful. We don't hold that same power in our speech, but our words are not benign either. Words have started wars and brought peace. They have broken hearts and comforted souls. With our words, we express our deepest desires and our fiercest hatreds. We use them to build up and to tear down, to heal and to hurt. Think back to a moment when someone's words changed your life. Maybe it was a parent telling you how proud they were of you, a friend offering comfort after the loss of a loved one. Or perhaps it was a nasty comment that left the scar that you still carry today. Now imagine if you could see every word you've ever spoken floating above your head like a cloud. Would that cloud be bright and encouraging? Or would it be dark and threatening? Would you be proud of what others see? Or would you want to hide? In our epistle lesson for today, we find a stern warning about the power of our words. James tells us that the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. Like a tiny spark that sets a great forest ablaze, our words have the power to change the course of our lives and the lives of those around us. But here's the challenging part. James also tells us that no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. We use it to bless our Lord and Savior, and with that same tongue, we curse those made in his likeness. Looking at our epistle reading, James writes, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body." James 3, verses 1 through 2. Consider for a moment the impact a teacher has had in your life. Bill Harper, who was a teacher for many, many years, frequently shares with me how his students have come back to him, telling him of the positive influence that he has had on him, on them. I believe many of us have had an important teacher in our lives, one who has made a lasting impression. Perhaps it was a Sunday school teacher who first helped us understand God's love. Or maybe it was a pastor whose sermons guided you through a very difficult time. Or a teacher in the public school system whose words of encouragement had the power to change your path. But with this influence comes accountability. James tells us teachers will be judged with a greater strictness. Every word they speak, every action they take, every lesson they impart has an impact. It's not just about giving information. It's about shaping lives. A teacher's misguided words or actions can lead others astray. Well, there's truthful, spirit-led encouragement and instruction can guide young and old toward a better life and a deeper relationship with their Lord. In these verses, James also recognizes our sinfulness, for we all stumble in many ways. This statement can be both convicting, but also comforting. It reminds us that no one, not even the most eloquent speaker or the most pious believer, is perfect in their words. Think about your own life. How often have you said something that you immediately regretted, or struggled to find the right words when somebody comes to you looking for advice, somebody that's in this tough situation? We're not perfect. We make mistakes. Our speech slip-ups could be as minor as a social faux pas, or as serious as words that cut someone very deeply. James' point is clear. We are sinful. We are not perfect. These incidents of verbal stumbling will happen, and will happen to all of us. James continues with several analogies about the power of the tongue. A small bridle can guide a powerful horse. A small rudder steers a large ship. These images vividly portray the huge influence that our small tongues have on our lives and our actions. Just as a tiny bit can direct the entire horse, our words, though they seem small and insignificant, can guide the course of our lives and make a huge impact on those around us. A few words of encouragement can motivate someone to persevere through challenges. On the flip side, harsh criticism can crush someone's spirit. Or a thoughtless comment can damage a relationship. Our words derive their power not from their volume, their loudness, or their quantity, how many we're able to say, but it comes from the ability of our words to touch hearts, to shape thoughts, and to influence actions. James concludes this trio of illustrations with perhaps the most striking image yet. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. Here we see just not the power of speech, but the potential for rapid, increasing, far-reaching impact, for better or for worse. A forest fire can start from something as small as a discarded cigarette or a stray spark. Yet its consequences can be devastating, far-reaching, thousands and thousands of acres burned. We see this happening in California, Colorado, even here in the Smoky Mountains. In the same way, a careless word, the spreading of a rumor, a hurtful comment, can cause damage that is far greater than we could ever imagine. And we see this play out in our culture every day. In this digital age where we enjoy this artificial bravery that is not present in face-to-face dialogue, a single tweet or an online comment can cause devastating effects. Kids are being bullied online, with 40% of girls and 25% of boys experiencing this abuse. Victims of cyberbullying are up 70% since the advent of COVID. And the victims of cyberbullying are 20% more likely to commit suicide. Our children are at risk, sometimes from people they don't even know. But it's just not our kids that are impacted by the digital age. Adults post things on Facebook and other social media platforms that make pastors cringe. Not only many of them are hurtful, but they are outright false. And those who aren't able to filter these half-truths in their lives get sucked into something that is really hurtful. The posting of veiled accusation is incredibly unhelpful, and it starts a firestorm of controversy that does severe damage. And social media ranting is the equivalent of a toddler's temper tantrum. But for those who choose to be on social media, it also proves to be an incredible opportunity. Let's not forget that fire, when controlled, can be really beneficial, providing warmth, light, and energy. Similarly, our words have the power to set ablaze hearts for Christ, inspiring acts of kindness, words of encouragement, and the proclamation of the truth. I do encourage you, though, to guard your hearts and minds when you're on social media, so you don't get sucked in to the perverse evil that is online. James goes on to describe the tongue as a restless evil full of deadly poison. The term restless suggests that the tongue is always ready to speak, often before we've had time to think about it. The deadly poison metaphor reminds us of the lethal potential of our words. Just a small amount of poison can be fatal. A few toxic words can destroy relationships, reputations, and ultimately lives. This should be a warning for us. James' words here are not meant to discourage us, but to awaken us to the critical importance of guarding our speech. James ends this section with these words: "With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring bring forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water." Verses 9 through 12. Consider the profound irony that James talks about here. In one moment, we might be lifting up our voices in worship, praising God for his goodness and his love. And in the next moment, we might be speaking harshly to a family member, criticizing a coworker, or engaging in gossip about our neighbor. Yet all of these people bear the same image as us, the image of the very God that we just praised. James emphasizes the absurdity of this type of behavior. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. This paradox reveals a deeper issue. That old Adam still lives inside every one of us. He needs to be drowned in the waters of your baptism every day. It exposes the saint-sinner paradigm that we all share. To drive home his point, James turns to nature for an illustration. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Of course, the implied answer here is an emphatic no. This metaphor challenges us. It challenges us to consider the consistency of our speech. If we claim to be followers of Christ, if our hearts have been truly transformed by his love, shouldn't our words consistently reflect that reality? Just as we would be shocked to find both fresh and salt water flowing from the same spring, or if a grapevine produced figs, we should be equally disturbed when both blessings and curses flow from our mouths. So I challenge you today, be mindful of your words. Before you speak, pause and consider this. Will these words bring life or bring death? Will they honor God or tear others down? Spending time in God's powerful word will allow his love and his truth to shape your hearts, your minds, your speech. And depend on the Holy Spirit. Confess your inability to control your tongue on your own and continually pray for God's help in this area. And when you fail, and you will fail, be quick to repent and seek his forgiveness. Let your stumbles drive you back to the cross, where you'll find grace, mercy, and the power to begin again. And don't be discouraged. The same God who created the universe with only a word empowers us every day to use our words for his glory. Amen.